Oh, I trust that we make regular time in our seeking the Lord, that we don't just ask Him for things, but that we just take time regularly to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. If you got your Bibles, Joshua chapter 4 tonight. I'm going to continue on. I told you preaching out of this book some with the Lord's help, but going to chapter 4. I'm going to look at this familiar story in a few moments, but as you're turning there, I shared a little bit this morning, but a young lady that goes to Brother Derek's church, Sister Maddie Pence, it was, I think, Wednesday night. She, if you knew her, you'd know she was a very backward young lady. She doesn't, when I first met her, I was actually preaching some of the services at the youth camp. And she come with another young lady out of the church there. And she went home and she told her friend, she said, "I don't know who that guy was preaching, but I tell you, I've never seen anything like that. He scared me a little bit while he's preaching." Well, anyway, she was, I believe, under some conviction. It wasn't long. She ended up giving her heart to the Lord. And this past weekend, I don't know how many years ago that was now, but just this week, she went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I tell that story is because she had another friend that she's been inviting, been coming to church, and found out a little bit later that friend has been, she's come a little bit, been kind of on the fringes. And I remember that the night she got the Holy Ghost, that friend had been sitting beside her. And I just had a thought in my mind. I was like, man, I wonder what she thought about that. You know, she, not a church girl. I'm not talking about somebody been raised in it. I wonder what she thought about that. I mean, because when Sister Maddie went through to the baptism, she laid in the floor and didn't speak in English till after 11:30 at night. I mean, the Lord, when He filled her, I mean, it was just, it's been a while since I've seen somebody go through and was, in that way, under the influence of the Spirit in such a way. But I had the thought on Wednesday night, I said, I wonder what her friend thought about that. You know, I wonder how that affected her. Well, she was the young lady I told you about this morning, that Thursday night the service rolled around, and before the preacher ever preached, she was back there with her face buried in her hands, surrendering to the Lord. And I saw her show up Friday morning, and I could tell something was different about her. You know what it is? I tell you, God's doing something. God's working. God is at work. And anytime He does something, oh, we ought to be paying attention. And what can I learn out of this? What is God trying to teach us all out of this? I just thank the Lord for it. I'm excited to see His mighty hand at work. And I trust that He's not done yet. Amen. But as we turn here to Joshua chapter 4 tonight, this chapter, it tells the story about two piles of stones. Both were just ordinary stones pulled from the bottom of Jordan. And one was stacked at Gilgal as a silent witness to a miracle. And the other was erected in the middle of a dried up river and then was later covered over by a river. But this is the story of the monuments that were set up to commemorate what God had done in the lives of Israel. Aren't you thankful that at times we can maybe not set up stone monuments, but we can erect spiritual monuments in our lives to what God has done? They hold spiritual significance. In fact, I thought as I was thinking about this message, I knew I'd be preaching on it, I thought about the paper machine rocks that were made back here for the 40th anniversary, I believe it was, of this church. And I remembered that, just them setting those up and it telling the story of what God done at Abundant Life Tabernacle. I remember Pastor Glenn walking through the story of how God called him all the way from the state of California to come back here. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he was in the will of God. He left a church there that seemingly was thriving. He come back here to found a work, and eventually here we sit by the grace of God. Some memorial stones of what God has done. And I want to talk about this concept tonight because God gave Israel a memorial not because he needed to remember, but because they needed to remember. And any time God gives us those momentous occasions that we mark on our calendars or we set aside in our minds that right there God did the miraculous, oh, God doesn't give it to us because he's going to forget it. He gives it to us so that we don't forget it. And I want to look at this tonight because the truth is we are all building memorials in our lives, some type of monument in our lives. The question is, what story will they tell? What story will they tell? If you got your Bibles, Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1, we're going to read down to the 7th verse of this chapter. If you're there, say amen and read along with me if you can. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. Man, I like that. Clean passed over Jordan. That the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone unto his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this might be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So stop right there tonight. I want to just preach from that question. What mean these stones? What mean these stones? Let's pray tonight and ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I ask you, Lord, that as we consider this momentous occasion, Lord, we looked at the crossing of the Jordan last week, but today we move from the miracle to the monuments. And I ask you, Lord, that you would remind us of the importance of having such monuments and pointing our children and those that come behind to the wonderful working of your power. But God, also let there lie within this a warning about making gods out of our memorials. And Lord, help us to remember that it is not the memorial, but it is the power of God and your presence that matters most. Help us tonight as we look into your word. Let the book live to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. As we look at this tonight, first of all, I want to just go down there in the 21st and 22nd verse of this chapter. In a moment, we're going to read. But the first heading I want to give to you tonight is the purpose of the memorials. The purpose of the memorials. Joshua 4:21 says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, talking about Joshua, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Oh, notice there in both this verse and also the ones that we read earlier, oh, the Lord through Joshua, oh, commands the people, and he tells them, he doesn't say if your children ask about these stones, but rather he says when they do. There is going to come a time, without a doubt, your children who never passed through the Jordan River, who never saw the miracle and the power power of God at work in your midst in such a way, but they're going to come to this memorial and they're going to ask the question, what does this mean? Why do we have these stones stacked one upon another? In other words, God expected the children to be curious and he expected the parents to have an answer. Can I tell you, the same is true for us tonight. We can expect the generation coming behind us, they're going to have questions about what God has done in our lives, about why we do certain things the way that we do them. Oh, they're going to have such questions, and it's okay for them to have those questions. But can I remind us also that while they may have the questions, we need to be prepared with an answer. Just like those parents were to look at their children and say, this is a memorial to what God has done in the life of our nation, we too must have an answer ready to give to those who come behind us and say, this is how God has moved in our lives. Oh, you know, but the truth of the matter is, as one man said it, the first step away from God is not usually rebellion, it's forgetfulness. It's not usually outright rebellion. It's just simply forgetting where God has brought us from. Oh, these things. Let's look at the purpose here. As I said, we were going to do. Oh, this memorial in Gilgal was to remind them of God's mighty works. Oh, imagine the scene after the crossing of the Jordan. Oh, the river had returned to its banks. Oh, no footprints remained in the riverbed. There would be no visible evidence that would remain. Nobody could see the pathway that God had made through the sea. And not just a pathway, a path wide enough, some 15 to 20 miles wide. Nobody was going to be able to see that after that day. Oh, that would all be in the past now. But that memorial would keep alive the power and the mighty working of God. Oh, let a few generations pass away and nobody would be alive that had walked through the Jordan River. Oh, you haven't got to turn very far. You can turn over to the very next book, Judges chapter 2. And you know what the Bible says? And Joshua and all of that generation died. And there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. Oh, that doesn't just mean that they didn't know what God could do. They didn't know him personally. Oh, they didn't have that relationship that the earlier generation had had. Oh, let a few generations pass away and nobody would be alive who witnessed the miracle. Oh, but one excitement passed. And once it had gone away, oh, memory faded. Oh, the message could still stay alive. This is what God has done. When we came to the brink of the Jordan River and the priests put their foot down into the edge of the river, we watched God pile that river up and stack it up like a solid object. This is the power of God. This stands as a memorial, just like the Jordan River stood up on its hind legs and it ceased flowing until we passed clean over. Oh, you know, they didn't enter because they were strong. They entered because God was faithful. They didn't come to Canaan because they were a mighty people. They came to Canaan because God kept his word. Oh, before Jericho, Israel first remembered Jordan. David, remember what he did? He had a memory on him as well. Oh, before he went out and faced Goliath, what did he do? He remembered how God had delivered the lion and the bear into his hands. Oh, he used that spiritual memory of what God had done. Oh, to cause him and to compare. Tell him to go forward in faith. I believe that's why 2 Peter reminds us on more than one occasion in that epistle that I may stir up your minds, oh, your pure minds by way of remembrance. Oh, that I may bring you to remembrance of what God has done. Because when we remember how he has moved, we know that what he has done before, he can do again. Oh, this was too. Fuel their faith in the present of what God's mighty power could accomplish. Also, another purpose of this was to teach the children. Those stones not only were a testament to God's power, but they were a classroom to the next generation. Those who were coming behind could learn of what God can do just simply by asking a question, what do these stones mean? Oh, a child's question would open the door to a parent's testimony. Oh, God spoke to the fathers, not the priest here. I want you to notice that. God doesn't say, oh, I want the priest to tell the story, but rather he says, I want the fathers to tell their children. Oh, in other words, you may make sure that you're doing your part as the father of your home, because parents are called to be the storytellers of grace and the witnesses of God's faithfulness within the home. Our children should know how God saved us. Our children should know how He answered impossible prayers. Our children should know how God healed us. Our children should know how God provided for us. Our children should know how God filled us with the Holy Ghost. Our children should know the stories, because those monuments stand as a teaching tool. I'm going to take them right here. You know what? I look forward to the day. I've mentioned it some to Benson, but he ain't quite old enough yet really to grasp all of it. But I look forward to the day he can wrap his mind around it. And I can tell him, son, let me tell you about how God saved me at 13 years old. When I didn't want to have anything to do with the church, and I had made up my mind when I turned 18, I was moving out, and I wasn't going to have anything to do with the religion that my parents had. I didn't want anything to do with it, but God intersected my life at 13 years old. Oh, I'm going to tell him about somewhere around the end of August 2007, oh, when a young man came to the altar. I didn't go down there seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I went down there to pray for that young man, but I had been telling the Lord, Lord, if I need the Holy Ghost to be full and evident in my life, then fill me with the Holy Ghost. I went down there, laid my hand on that boy's back and began to pray for him. And it wasn't about 10 or 15 minutes. I wasn't praying in English anymore, but God had filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to share the stories with my children because I want them to know what God has done. I want those testimonies all to reach into the next generation and for it to be a memorial that what God has done for me, God can do for you. Oh, share the story about how I was 13 years old. It was March 31st, if I'm getting the date correct, 2008, just a couple months away from my 14th birthday. God had been dealing with me about preaching. I didn't want to have anything to do with preaching. Oh, I said, no, I'll just sit on the pew. Oh, but I remember that night. Oh, I told the Lord before service, I'd stayed all day that afternoon. I told Mom and Dad, you go home. I'm going to stay out here this afternoon. I need to get a hold of the Lord. I stayed out at the church and I locked myself in a Sunday school room and I sought the face of God. And after doing that, oh, for several hours on end, I remember I finally told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not saying you should do it this way, but this is just my testimony, so I have to tell it the way it happened, okay? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel, I said, fill Sister Holly Hopkins at the time, fill her with the Holy Ghost tonight. Let it be clear and let it be evident. I remember our little youth choir got up there and started singing. The Spirit of God began to move. I raised my hands toward heaven and I begin to weep, and all of a sudden across on the other side of the youth group, that church wasn't very wide, I heard somebody speaking in tongues that I'd never heard speak in tongues before. I opened my eyes and there Sister Holly was under the influence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and right there in that moment I fell down on my knees. I said, God, I'll preach the gospel. I'll go where you want me to go. I've got a testimony to share to the next generation. Generation. And you do too. It ain't just Pastor Shane got a testimony. You've got one too. Oh, Brother Tom Neff come out of a Lutheran background. Sister Juanita Jones come from a Catholic background. Some of you were raised right in the church, but yet it took the same grace of God to do it for you. Others of you have trauma in your past that you don't like to talk about, but you can say, by the grace of God, He brought me all the way through it. He brought me to the other side of it. Now I've erected a monument, and I'm declaring this is what only the power of God can do. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, help us. Oh, not only do we see this, that the importance of memorials is this, they are things we don't want forgotten. You build a memorial to things you don't want forgotten. And can I say this? If you fail to build the memorial and to remind those coming behind, the story will be lost. It don't matter how powerful it is. It don't matter how wonderful it is. It don't matter how glorious it is. If we don't reach down into the riverbed, as it were, and grab the rock of remembrance and place one stone upon another, the next generation ain't gonna have any reason to know anything happened right there. Oh, but I can take you to some places where God has allowed me to erect a monument, and I put it up there, and I'm gonna tell everybody that passes by, look what God has done. Look how He brought me over. Look how He moved in my life. Look how He healed my body. Look how He saved my family. This is the importance of memorials, the purpose of them. Let's look also at the picture in the memorial. If you notice in this chapter, there's two monuments. There's not just one. There's one that gets erected in Gilgal. But if you pay attention to this chapter, there's another one. He said, I want you to build one right in the middle of the river. That one in Gilgal, he said, everybody's going to see that one. The children coming behind you. Generations may pass, but they'll be able to see. Oh, this memorial. And they're going to ask a question. Be ready to have an answer for them. He said, but there's also another one there. And I want to look at these two memorials because each one gives us a picture. Oh, this other one was beneath the waters of the Jordan River. Oh, and the other one, oh, was in the land of promise. Oh, two different memorials, two different pictures we get here. First of all, let's look at the stones raised on the other side. They're in Gilgal. Joshua 4:20 says, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal? Gilgal. Oh, 12 men were called, one per tribe of the children of Israel. And they carried these large stones out of the bed rock of the Jordan River. Oh, they carried them, some that's believed somewhere between 6 and 8 miles to the camp of Gilgal. It required a lot of effort for them to take these stones out of the bottom of this river. These were, I'm not talking about pebbles here. I'm talking about stones that it took a grown man to carry upon his shoulders, and they carried them some 6 to 8 miles all the way to Gilgal, and they erected this monument. Oh, you said, what's the importance? What do we see here? Well, we see that every tribe participated in this story. Oh, you know what? This is a shared monument. This is one that everybody participated in, as it were, in corporate head. Oh, they all participated in this. They all were able to, oh, as it were, oh, say this is our shared testimony of how God has bought us through, how God bought us over. Oh, if we look on in the story, we're going to find in the book of Joshua that Gilgal, the place where they erect this monument, becomes Israel's headquarters. Every campaign, oh, before they go to Jericho, before they go to Ai, oh, began in Gilgal. In other words, they return back to the place where God brought them through. They were going to face some battles. They were going to face some hardships. But you know what they did? They kept coming back to the place where God brought them through. How many times do you visit that place where God brought you to the other side of some things? Oh, hallelujah. I have to face a Jericho, oh, with impregnable walls. What am I going to do? I'm not going to go over there and wander in the wilderness. I'm not going to go up to the top of a mountain. I'm going to go back to Gilgal. I'm going to look at that monument and I'm going to say, if God could bring me over that Jordan River, if he could cause me to walk over on dry land simply because I obeyed him in faith, he can tear down a Jericho wall. He can overcome an Ai. He can conquer 31 kings if he has to, because if God can do that, he surely can do this. They return back to this place, and every time they would have to stare at that monument of that testified, oh, where God brought them through. These stones testified that God brings his people through and that he also keeps his promises. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. I was sitting here preaching about this. I said they had a rock pile in Gilgal. Oh, that pointed to how God brought them through. Oh, we as New Testament believers, we don't have a rock pile in Gilgal, but we do have a singular stone that was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb of Jesus. Oh, and it stands as a memorial that Jesus passed through death and he came out on the other side victorious. I can visit that memorial and I can declare by the grace of God, if he can bring him through death, there is nothing that my God cannot bring me through. If he could cause Jesus Christ to pass through the waters of judgment and them not overcome him, but rather he come out on the other side on Sunday morning victorious, is there anything that our God cannot take his people through? It is a memorial. One stone outside of Jerusalem tells the story of how God can bring his people through. That's the memorial in Gilgal. But look at verse number 9 of chapter 4. These are the stones left behind in the water. They would be buried by the water. Verse number 9 says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest stood. Now, I'll give this to you for homework. Those other stones, remember who set them up? One man out of each tribe. But this one's different, isn't it? The Bible says Joshua erected this monument. He didn't have 12 men to help him. He did it all by himself. Oh, a monument here that no one would see. Now you say, what is the significance of a monument that nobody else could see? You know, I get the one erected in Gilgal that you could return back to and everybody could see it. But what about this one buried beneath the water? Because as soon as the priest stepped out, the waters returned and they covered this monument. Oh, let me just say this. This is what I believe, and you can take it as you interpret it when you're preaching the message. But if the visible stones pointed out what God brought us through and how God can take us to his promises, then the hidden stones whispered, look where God has brought us from. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. That monument in Gilgal was a shared testimony. Oh, everybody can say that God has brought us through something. Oh, he has caused us to be victorious. But each one of us have a private testimony that stands between just us and God that nobody knows about, that's buried beneath the waters, that we can say, oh, if you only knew where God brought me from, if you only knew the place where I came from, that is the memorial of what God has done. He hasn't just brought me to the promised land, but he's bought me from the land of judgment. He's bought me out of the wilderness and he's called me to walk in the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. You know what also I believe these stones say? Now that you crossed over Jordan, there's no going back. I've already marked the spot in the middle of that river. I'm not going back. God's not going to part the river so I can leave the promised land. Oh, but rather I intend on staying. Oh, I love what Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, to tie this into the New Testament, says. It said we are buried with him by baptism into death, so therefore we should walk in the newness of life. Colossians 3 verse number 3 says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Israel could not recover those stones. They belonged to the past. They were buried underneath the water. Neither can we dig up what God has buried. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I came here tonight as I was preaching this. I said, Lord, I just want to remind our congregation that there's some things that God has buried underneath the waters that you don't need to go try and dig them back up. The devil may try to bring them up, but they're buried. They're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Stop going back down into the river and pulling them rocks back up, but say that's the memorial of where I came from, not where I'm going. That testifies about where God has brought me out of, not to where I'm headed. Hallelujah. Nobody else saw them but God. And Joshua, there's some things that only God knows that is buried in your past. And aren't you thankful for it? Oh, hell, I'm thankful for the monuments that everybody can see, and I can say, this is where God's brought me to. This is how he's moved in my life. But there's a few things buried underneath that water I'd just as soon leave there. Hallelujah. And I see some heads nodding in agreement, the people that say, yes, me too. I've got a few things buried there, and it was put underneath the blood of Calvary. I don't have to see it again. I don't have to get up tomorrow and wonder about it. I can say, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Woo, hallelujah. Two memorials for every believer. A visible testimony that others can see that proclaims, look what God has done. And also a hidden work that only God fully knows, that says, I will never forget and I will never return. Hallelujah. Anybody remember wandering in the wilderness of sin? Oh, hallelujah. 2007, I told you earlier, I remember what it was to be 13 years old, wandering in sin. But you know what? The testimony that lies behind me in baptism is this, that old life is dead, and now this new life has come to being on the inside of me. Because nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me. And it tells me I never have to return to that. I don't have to go back to it. All I have to do is remember, look what the grace of God has brought me from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God buried some things in the river. I tell you, stop rehearsing forgiven failures and walk in the victory that Christ has secured. Oh, that's two pictures, two memorials. The third thing I want to talk about is the peril of the memorials. And I want to turn a little bit further in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4, verse 15. Amos chapter 4, verse number 4. Both minor prophets. Because how many know that anything that once pointed us to God can eventually replace God? You remember that story of how the children of Israel were bitten by the snakes in judgment from God, venomous snakes, fiery serpents, I believe is what the Bible calls them. And God said, I want you to take a brass serpent, put it up on a pole, lift it up, and everyone who looks to it's going to live. That was a memorial to what God had done. You turn a little later in the Old Testament, and I believe it's in 2 Kings, you know what you find out? You find out that that bronze serpent got a name. You know what the name of that bronze serpent became? Nehushtan. And the Bible says that the people began to worship Nehushtan, which was that serpent that was placed upon the rod. The memorial of God's saving and delivering power became the object of their worship. Remember the story of Gideon? And Judges, the Bible says that after he got done defeating the Midianites, that he created this ephod. You know what an ephod is? In the Old Testament, it was something that was used to communicate with God. Oh, you would wear that thing, and it was supposed to be a sign of communication with God. But before long, you know what happened? Oh, they began to worship the ephod, because the memorial of what God had done became the object of their worship. You know what happens in the Old Testament? Same thing here. Gilgal becomes the place that people idolize. Listen to me. Oh, as I told you, the two verses, you can, if you got your fingers there, let's read part of them together. Hosea 4:15. The Lord tells the people there through Hosea, he said, "Come not ye into Gilgal." The place where God had told them to erect a monument to his power had become a place of idol worship, because the peril of any memorial of what God has done is that people worship the memorial and forget about the God whose power made it possible for the memorial to be there in the first place. Oh, Amos chapter 4, verse number 4, "Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal ye shall multiply transgression." The place that once celebrated God's faithfulness became a center of empty religion. The stones hadn't changed, the heart of the people had. You know what happened? The memorial lost its meaning. I told you, memorials are good as long as they're kept in the right perspective. Children once asked, "What mean these stones?" But eventually people walked by the stones and they stopped asking. It didn't have any meaning to them. It didn't matter what happened then, because we don't live then. You know how many people I run into, and they have this attitude about what God has done? And they say, "Well, that was then. We don't live back then. That doesn't mean anything to me." Oh, the memorial loses its meaning. I know I'm slowing down, but I'm slowing down on purpose. You know, spiritual decline rarely begins with rebellion. It begins when holy things become ordinary, when the songs become ordinary, when the scripture becomes ordinary, when prayer becomes routine, when church communion all just becomes an act of normal service. Oh, it is possible to stand by our memorial unto God's power and no longer experience his presence. Can I say this tonight? This church right here, this building, I'm not going to say the church because we're the church. This building right here is a memorial to God's faithfulness. But you know what? It is possible for the memorial to lose its meaning. And for us to just look at, "Oh, this is the building. But what about the God of the building? Because he has not changed." We can come here and we can worship right within a memorial to God's presence, God's power, and not really experience his presence if we are not careful. Oh, that's one of the perils of the memorials. Also, second of all, you know what the other one is? The memorial becomes a substitute. Oh, people became attached to the place and the object rather than the purpose of it. Oh, God never intended for them to go to Gilgal and worship that stone monument. God never intended for them to go there and find their source of satisfaction and adoration there. He said, "When you go there, I want you to remember what I have done." How many people allow the memorials of what God has done to become the substitute for their adoration of God? I'll tell you, this church is a memorial to what God has done, this building. But I'll tell you this also. Would to God we tear it apart brick by brick and pew by pew if all it became, if it replaced our affection and service unto a holy God. Oh, I say, let us worship under a tree somewhere if that thing replaces, oh, the value that we place upon God's presence. Oh, will it let us remember how we got here? Let us remember how God has moved. Let us remember what God has done. And behind us lies some Jordan rivers that He has crossed, caused us to pass over without getting our feet wet. Let us not let it lose its meaning, and let it not become a substitute. Some people trust their denominations. They trust their heritage. They trust their traditions. They trust their favorite preachers. They trust in their past revivals instead of walking daily with Jesus. Oh, God has no grandchildren, and every generation has to know Him personally. Last year, we said farewell, so long done for now, to Pastor Glenn Jones. But how many know God's power is just as real? Oh, He desires to move just as much. I say, let the memory of that man live on in the lives of every single one to whom he ministered and to whom, oh, he had an effect in the, let that memory live on. But let the memory be this: look what God used that man to do. It wasn't him. It wasn't his personality. It wasn't his ability. Oh, God didn't build it on his charisma. God built this church upon His holy purposes, and we stand today as those who march forward triumphant. Oh, God is still at work as my wife makes her way to the piano. Oh, I encourage you, name your own memorial stones. Take that Bible, grab you one, and mark it from cover to cover. And every time God, through a preacher, or through your personal devotions, or in Sunday school class, speaks to you through His Word, write down the Word of God. Oh, how it come across to you in your heart. Write it down. Because one day somebody may inherit that Bible, and it may feed their soul to see what God has done. Oh, tell how God filled you with the Spirit. Tell how He healed your body. Tell how He carried you through sorrow. Thank God for all the memorials. Tell the story that lies behind them. Pass them on to your children. But don't stop there. Remember the past. Live in the present. And look expectantly toward the future. We have to live in all three at one time. Remember what's behind us. Live in what's here. Look to what's ahead. That's our calling, folks. As every person stands all over this building. This was the thought that came to my mind. I felt to close this message in this way. Remember something about this monument as I bring this message to a close. These were just rocks. Now, you know, I know in the New Testament Jesus said, if these don't praise me, the rocks themselves shall cry out. They're going to testify and sing the praises of God. But you know what? The monument in Gilgal never gained a voice. Just a pile of rocks, really. You know who had to be the mouthpiece for the monument? The people who first experienced it. They had to give a testimony of what lies behind that monument. God never intended the memorial to replace the testimony. He intended His people to become the mouthpieces to the monuments. Some of you who have been here since this church was founded. As I said it before, in all actuality, this building is nothing more than brick mortar, sheetrock, some wiring, some lights, material things. It's up to you to be the mouthpiece that testifies, but this is the other side of the story. It's up to us to do that. Well, what about right here? You know, my children one day may ask me, Dad, why'd you quit working at Newport News Shipbuilding and start pastoring? Well, I can tell you it won't for the money. I don't mean that wrong. I appreciate every cent you give me. I don't mean that wrong. But I didn't do it for that. I did it because it's what God called me to do. I'm going to be the mouthpiece to that memorial. Oh, you got some places in your life that you need to be the mouthpiece to your memorials, because only you can tell the story of it. There's some things buried in that river that nobody else ever sees. But you got to tell somebody buried underneath the waters of baptism, there was a person that you never would have recognized. A rebellious heart that wanted to go its own way, who had already chosen to live a life of sin, although I knew the right way. But God buried that old man. And I'm going to give it a mouthpiece, and I'm going to tell everybody that, listen, this is what God can do. There's been some Jordan Rivers he's bought you not only to, but he's bought you through. And when you stand on the other side of that river, be the mouthpiece and testifies and says, look what God has done. He didn't just bring me halfway through. He didn't bring me most of the way through. He brought me all the way through, and he kept on going. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's still writing the story. If you've got breath in your body, God's still writing the story. Oh, I pray that as we look back over your life, we see some piles of rocks that may not mean anything to anybody else. But maybe somebody will see them. They'll come up to you and ask, hey, what about this? And we can be the mouthpiece to the memorial that says, well, what mean these stones? I'll tell you what they mean. This is what God done. I'll tell you where he bought me from, and I'll tell you where he bought me to. By his grace. Let's pray, and then we're going to find a place in the altars. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Oh, who's going to tell our children what you have done? Who's going to tell the grandchildren and all those who come behind how you answered our prayers? If we remain silent, someone else is going to tell them a different story. But may our homes and our church become the place where your works are declared. Let us be living commentary of the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to not only erect the monuments, but to tell the stories of how you have moved in our lives. And when they ask, what does it mean? Oh, let us be ready to tell of your mighty power in Jesus' name. Can we find a place to pray tonight? Oh, some of you have more memorials behind you than you do ahead of you. But it doesn't mean that God's done. Some of you have a life full of monuments, possible monuments that you may or may not construct. But if you stay in the will of God, I promise you there's going to be some places yet ahead, if he tarries, that you're going to stop and you're going to lay down the pile of rocks. And you're going to say, right there, God did the impossible.